Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is co-host Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Daniel, we have a friend with us today that has joined us, and he's been with us before, Phil Giraldi. And he spent a career in the CIA, so he's the expert. He's going to answer all our questions today. He's going to sort all this out. The media is all mixed up after this program. Everybody will know exactly what's going on. And Phil has been a friend of the Ron Paul Institute, as well as serving as an advisor and a guide in the presidential campaigns that we had in 08 and 012. Phil, welcome to our program.
Thank you. I hope I can straighten things out.
Good. And, you know, my idea about that, when it gets very complex and very serious, we have to do our best to have a little bit of fun with it, except sometimes these things are so serious that you wonder how much fun you should have, because some of this stuff could end up being serious. But we are delighted to have you with us. You recently published an article that this whole thing about Flynn, it's more about Russia rather than about Flynn. I think I can agree with that. And it's serious, important, because it does affect an important relationship, the relationship between the United States and Russia. Of course, I became very disappointed with that when we were participating in the disruption going on in Ukraine. But this is sort of mixed in with all that. So give us a little update on just what you think is going on here, and what do you think is going to come of all this?
Well, my original take on this was that it was focused on Flynn. Flynn is, in my opinion, a despicable character in terms of some of his viewpoints, particularly his assessment of Islam, and also his view about Iran and the inevitability of going to war with Iran. So there are certain things I really disliked about him, and I thought this was kind of a comeuppance. But actually, the story is a lot deeper than that. I think when it emerged that a number of senior, and I would emphasize very senior, officers in the intelligence and national security community were the ones who basically leaked this highly classified information to bring Flynn down, I figured, well, there has to be another agenda here. And to me, the agenda is that there is a growing consensus in the United States government, particularly in the security area, about Russia, that Russia is now the enemy du jour, the enemy that we have to confront. And I think that bringing Flynn down was a way, possibly, of bringing Russia back into the conversation in a very negative way, which is happening already in the newspapers.
Daniel.
Yeah, Phil, let's back up and think about this telephone call for a bit. And you wrote a little bit about it in your piece that's out today in the American Conservative magazine. What do we know? I mean, you wrote that, you know, Flynn is a guy who's steeped in intelligence. He was the head of the DIA. He certainly understands sources and methods. And here he is making a long-distance call, I believe, to the Russian ambassador. I think what you were saying in your piece is, of course, he knows he probably was monitored and therefore wasn't necessarily trying to hide anything. And that was the point. But the whole idea of what this acting attorney general said is she was concerned that this might open him up to blackmail. But explain a couple of your points on those two items.
Yeah, we'll take the second one first. I mean, I don't see specifically where it's a blackmail issue. If he even spoke a little bit out of school, I mean, he probably did not go beyond saying, oh, yes, the sanctions, we'll be looking at that issue with the new administration. I can't imagine him saying anything beyond that. Now, so, again, this goes back to, what does this demonstrate? It demonstrates that this is about Russia, because Flynn, obviously recognizing that these calls were kind of, you know, maybe not the smartest thing in the world, but not necessarily a hanging offense. I mean, he had made calls to a bunch of other people. I think you mentioned in one of your pieces that he had spoken to the Israelis a number of times. And I have heard that he's spoken to a number of European intelligence officers and diplomats. So this is exactly something different, or indeed, if it was something different, it was because it was a Russian. So that takes us again to, well, why did they do it? Why did they do it this way? Because there's a Russia issue here.
Right. You know, I'm a little bit confused on Trump, on what he's doing. And it seems to me like he may have capitulated and implying that there was some serious problem there. And it looks like it's been shifted to from policy, and that would fit your scenario, over into, oh, well, he fibbed, he lied to the vice president, that sort of thing. But he didn't really have a good reason to do all this. I just don't understand why Trump might not have chosen to defend him. Do you understand exactly why he had to do this? Is this Trump's personality or is this a strategy?
I think it's tactical, actually. I think the fact is he realized that there was a no-win situation confronting him. I mean, we have to assume that there are actual transcripts of this phone conversation floating around out there that haven't surfaced yet. So I think Trump was confronted with the possibility that this story would just develop legs and go on and on and on and on. And I think he had to cut his losses. But Trump is indeed, now that Flynn is gone, if you look at what Trump has been saying in the last 24 hours or so and what's been appearing in the media, he is defending Flynn. He's saying, you know, this is unconscionable that the National Security Services should leak this kind of information on someone who is assumed to be a senior officer in the government. He's right. And so I think he is making a counteroffensive, but I believe that the decision to cut his losses was tactical.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a way, though, he was damned if you do, damned if you don't, because now that Flynn has been fired or resigned, it just adds fuel to the fire of those who want Cold War 2.0, unless they look, they're not going to listen to that he mouthed off to Pence. They're going to say, look, this was an admission that he was doing something wrong with the Russians and had to get, and this is what the Dems are saying, we need more investigations. So in a way, the unintended consequences of allowing Flynn to leave was that he's added fuel to the fire.
Yeah, well, I think you got it right when you said that he was damned if he did and damned if he didn't. Either way, he was in trouble. And in a way, it's easier to try to kill the story at a certain point than it is to try to prolong it. And as I say, I don't see the criminality. I mean, poor judgment, maybe, but I don't see the criminality in what took place here. But the question was, if you tried to fight it, you would be confronted by leakers within your own government, within effectively in your own administration, working in cahoots with the media, which hates Trump, hates Russia, and basically is on board completely for this.
You know, it seems like this could be a setback for Trump on his policy with Russia, which on the surface looks like he wants better relations. It is a little bit confusing to me because of Flynn, you know, he has all his negatives, which you have pointed out, but he wasn't the one that's going to be resisting Trump on Russia. But it seems like the neocon branch that got rid of Flynn have won this. What is this going to do to Trump? Is he going to buckle down and stick to fighting for a little bit of common sense with Russia? Or do you think this is a sign that, you know, it's all over? He's going to have to go along with them because he's overwhelmed, you know, with the media and what's been going on. It seems like it's up for grabs.
You know, I would like to believe that he's going to stick by his guns on this because it's an important issue. But look, essentially what's happened here is that by taking Flynn down, Flynn is not really the target. The target is putting Russia again on the front pages. And that's what they've succeeded in doing. There was a new investigation announced by Congress today into what had occurred and the Russian involvement. So we have Russia again in the media. We have Russia again under the lights of Congress. We have Russia being targeted as again a bad guy in terms of the American democratic process. And what this succeeds in doing, in my mind, is it narrows the options of President Trump to really improve the relationship with Russia. I think that is kind of the intention. The intention is to keep the Russian relationship on a boil and basically make it so that there's not going to be much possibility of Donald Trump reversing the current status quo.
And one of the interesting components of this, Phil, is the role of the media. And the media is really serving as a mouthpiece of those who want to get us back to Cold War status with Trump. The two big articles that were out, I believe, yesterday, there was a CNN piece and a New York Times piece, and both of those claim that high-ranking people that are around Trump have had high contacts with Russian intelligence. Of course, those are the big headlines, and when you read down, you see that they bury the lead. First of all, they were all unnamed sources, all anonymous sources. And then they buried the lead and said, well, this is really not that unusual. They were doing business there. They may not have known they were Russian intelligence. And B, there's no indication at all that Trump knew anything about this or that they knew anything about this. But the third one that maybe you could comment on is, I think, an explosive Wall Street Journal article that came out yesterday, I believe. In the title, it says it all. Spies keep intelligence from Trump on leak concerns. And it says that, and this is, of course, again, unnamed sources, but the intelligence community is withholding information from its own president on sources and methods out of fear that it may leak to the Russians. This is almost gets to the point of open warfare or even treason.
Yeah, this stuff is, they're making this stuff up to a large extent. The story about the spies not talking to the administration, that's kind of a replay of an Israeli-originated story before the election, where they were saying that the Israelis were advised by their CIA contacts not to share information with the administration, with the incoming administration. So this kind of thing is to a certain extent, they're making it up because they're using anonymous sources, and the anonymous sources may not exist. I read one account yesterday where they even, one pundit was accusing Trump and Flynn of treason. Now, I would recommend that they possibly go back and read the Constitution to find out how that's defined. But yet, this is insanity. I mean, this is a friend of mine who's a former CIA officer refers to this as hysteria that we're seeing about Russia. And I think that's an accurate depiction.
Phil, do you think the position that Trump has had it leads to some confusion and makes him more vulnerable? For instance, you know, we have already mentioned the position that he's strongly, as well as Flynn, anti-Iranian. And, of course, some of us, at least here, think that maybe we ought to talk to people, you know, and not necessarily just look for the next war and threaten them. At the same time, he takes a different position on Russia. Does this set the stage for being more vulnerable to criticism rather than having somebody that follows, you know, a little bit of consistent common sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Obviously, consistency has not been the hobgoblin of Mr. Trump. It's absolutely true. I mean, obviously, I've written on it. I know Dan has, and you have too, about the insanity of our policy towards Iran. I mean, this is a country we should be dealing with, and Trump gets it about Russia. He doesn't get it about Iran. But of course, the question is who's been whispering in his ear, and I think Flynn, who is virtually fanatical about Iran, is probably the one that's shaped a lot of the viewpoint on Iran. I would like to see Trump. I confess to having voted for him, and I voted for him because I really wanted to see him as a peace candidate and not get involved in a new war in the middle, mending fences with Russia. That seemed to make eminent sense to me. And hopefully, if Trump survives this, which I think we have to maybe raise a question mark. I would hope to see him turn to that kind of policy.
Of course, let me just follow up a quick one. But in a way, he doesn't get any points for satisfying the neocons who wants him and enjoys him bashing Iran. At the same time, Russia becomes the key issue. So that leads to just more confusion, Daniel.
He made his own bed in that way. You know, we talked a little bit about this before we started, Phil, and this is the issue of the intelligence community, because we have the title, is the intelligence community at war with Trump? And that's kind of a shortcut, and I guess the question implies the answer. The intelligence community is not a monolith, and And we're seeing, you know, some have suggested that holdover Obama people like Clapper and Brennan are directing these leaks and things to undermine Trump. But if you can explain in your experience, you know, when we say the intelligence community, what do we really mean about the people that are doing this?
Well, you know, 99% of the intelligence community is people like us who work for a living. And it's the 1% at the top, the people that are essentially politicized and are in a sense, political appointees who are motivated by all these other issues and driven by them. In this case, only a very tiny handful of people within the community would have even had access to these transcripts and these telephone intercepts, because this is very highly protected intelligence information. So we're looking at the people at the very top of the tree who have political motivations, people like Michael Morell, who is no longer active at CIA, but who supported Hillary Clinton and was clearly expecting to be named the director of CIA. There are people like that who have a political agenda that drives them, and possibly other agendas, and they basically are the ones that are driving this process. The intelligence community works for the president and works for Congress to a certain extent, and they basically will work for whoever is elected. That's what our system is all about.
Right. You know, I think we could go on a long time and talk about this, and this is very fascinating, but I did want to get a question in on a slightly different matter, but it's very much involved with our president, very much involved with foreign policy. Yesterday, I think it was when the president met with Netanyahu. And once again, you know, I try to sort it out by reading the news, and every once in a while you run into fake news. But the stories that I read said that Trump said that, you know, it has to be a one-state solution. You can't have two states. And then in the next moment, he said he was telling Netanyahu, well, I need to tell you that these settlements, that's not a good idea, and you ought to back off, sort of that sort of thing. Why don't you give me your opinion about what transpired yesterday?
Well, I know a lot of optimists thought when Trump said, yeah, one state solution, they were saying, wow, one state with equal rights for Palestinians, and that ain't about to happen. I think when he's talking about one state, he's talking essentially about an expanded Israel, which will take all the nicer parts of the West Bank. That will be the Israeli state, and the Palestinians will be left with something that kind of is not a state, and is kind of not anything, and they will work for their Israeli masters. I suspect that's what he means by one state. And then, of course, his comment about the settlements is perfectly correct, but it's only correct if you assume there's going to be two states. So it's a mishmash.
It does make you wonder, you know, how much, you know, we've seen outreach to the Saudis, we've seen now outreach to Israel. And it makes you wonder how much Trump is sort of in a prison of his own making when it comes to his Iran policy, because it seems like the positions have been driven in this administration and previous administrations by our alliances or our friendships, or what you would call them, with Israel and Saudi Arabia.
So, Phil, we got to run, but this is very fascinating. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. This is fascinating, and I sure hope we can get you back on our program at a later date.
Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here.
Very good. And I want to thank our audience for tuning in today for this update on the deep and thorough conversation about the intelligence community versus the president, as well as Flynn. Sorting out and finding the truth is not all that easy, but I think that Mr. Giraldi gave us a lot of help in looking at it from a different angle. I want to express my appreciation for him being with us, as well as our audience today. Thank you for tuning in. Please come back soon to the Ron Paul Liberty Report.